Welcome to another episode of Playing It Safe with the Prescription Playbook, a segment of the What's the Mood podcast. Today we have a very special guest. Today we have Bev Pomering, who is the Executive Director of the Live Real Foundation. Bev hopes that by providing education, awareness, resources, and support to those who are struggling, that she can and will make a difference in the world. We're so excited to have Bev with us today. Right. So as you heard, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. Her name is Bev Pomering. So Bev, we're very happy to have you on the podcast. If you want to just start off, just say hi to our listeners here and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what brings you to this platform.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. So thank you for having me to represent the Live Real Foundation. So a little bit about me. Forever lived in Northern Illinois, and this year I'll be married 28 years to Terry. We raised two boys in a small rural community. We were pretty much the typical average Midwestern family. My husband and I both worked outside the home. Both boys were busy in either sports or activities, arts and hobbies. And so that has been my life. And my boys, my youngest just turned 22, and Alex, our oldest, would have been 25 this year. He passed away August 27th, 28th of 2019 from fentanyl. So since then, I created this foundation, and that is what I do. I work still a full-time job, and then I also run the foundation, so.
That's awesome. You're definitely a busy person making some big differences in your community, so. And I know Alex is a huge component of what started the Live Real Foundation, so tell us a little bit more. What is the Live Real Foundation, and who do you serve? What do you do?
Well, the Live Real Foundation is a local 501c3 charity, and we do drug education. We do support groups for people who have lost loved ones due to substance use or even tragic death resulting from mental illness. And we also do seminars on substance use prevention. And then we have a bunch of programs coming up here and just excited of how we're growing. A little bit more about Alex is, you know, like I said, he was our oldest and we did not know he had an opioid addiction until the sheriff deputy knocked on our door and said that we better get to the hospital because he doesn't know what condition he's in. And that was a real shock to us. He was 4 weeks shy of 21 when he passed away, and we thought we were dealing with misconception of a typical teenage boy just about to turn 21, minor drinking, a little partying, but we were like most people who thought, well, it's just a phase and he'll be fine. We turned out fine, and so nothing to worry about. Well, we learned different that night, and he did have an substance use problem with opioids. He had just recently, within the last year before his death, started heroin. He thought he was doing heroin the night he died, and but there was no heroin in his system when toxicology came back. It was full fentanyl. And he was not alone when he started overdosing. There was three other boys with him. And that was one of the main reasons I started Live Real, is because those boys were not trained in what an overdose actually looked like. They had seen people consume too much and called that overdosing, but they were not trained in what happens throughout the entire process. They were not trained or even knew what naloxone was, which is the only life-saving drug there is against an opioid overdose. And so they waited too long to call the authorities to get help for Alex. And between them not understanding what an overdose was and not being trained, and us having no clue that he had the addiction that he had, those two things spurred me to learn more. You know, why was this? Why did people in our small town think that this couldn't happen to a family like us? Alex had a job. He was well-loved. He went to work every day. He ate dinner with us almost every night. He still worked at, you know, lived at home. And he had just bought a car and seemed to be on the right path of getting ready to move out. So how did this happen? It happened because the drugs that are out there today are not the drugs of the 80s when I was his age. And a lot has changed. You can't just experiment like people think that it's okay. It's just too dangerous. As you know, Abby, you know, fentanyl is out there and it was a game changer.
I was going to say, talk to us a little bit more about fentanyl. Tell us a little bit more about what fentanyl is and why it's so dangerous, and also something that's being talked about so prevalent in our society right now. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, fentanyl is a fully synthetic man-made drug that is more potent than any other opioid out there. And it takes very little to cause an overdose. And it is just so prevalent out there. That is the one misconception out there, that people think it can't happen to them. And I don't know if it's whether they don't believe the news. I know for sure there's not enough news out there telling people. It's really has been the silent epidemic that has been going on. Over 107,000 people died in 2022 from a substance use death, and 85% of them were due to fentanyl. So that is a huge number of people. And so it really can happen to anyone. And so this drug is, like I said, fully man-made. Governments have started to regulate the shipment of the completed drug of fentanyl. So what is happening is that to get around that, people are shipping the ingredients of this drug. And then those ingredients get end up in the hands of cartels in Mexico and here in the U.S., and it is flooding the markets on the streets. So,
and the fentanyl is being seen in counterfeit pills, right? It's being really pressed into everything. I was on a webinar with the DEA the other day, and they were talking about it. They're even starting to find it in counterfeit vape cartridges, like THC vape cartridges, really any illicitly sold substance, you know, an opioid or not, a pill or not, right? They're finding fentanyl laced in all of those things, and a deadly amounts of fentanyl, right? It's just 2 milligrams. Like you said, it's just a very, very small
just
amount.
Just the tiniest amount, just the tiniest amount. I mean, less than a pencil point, you know. And that's what a lot of people don't believe. You know, they're like, oh, there's no way. And, you know, the proof is out there. Yes, people can consume fentanyl as their main drug that they use. But just like any other substance out there, people react different. And let's say Benadryl. You know, a lot of people know what Benadryl is. Some people can take Benadryl and get really sleepy. It totally knocks them out. Other people can take Benadryl and it makes them hyper. Some people it does what it's actually supposed to do, and for other people it doesn't work at all. So why is that? It's the same drug. It's
Right.
because each body is different and everybody's makeup is different and the way our body processes things is different. And then each individual encounter may be different. Your blood sugars may be off that day, or something else is going on in your body, like a pre-existing disease, whether you know about it or not. And those all play into how the fentanyl and how the opioids last and are processed in your body. And then, if you are someone who has an addiction and you've built up this resilience to the opioid, the more and more it takes for you to get that desired effect that you're looking for. And then sooner or later, your body will say, that's it, I'm done, and the opioid takes over and tells your body to go ahead, shut down, we've got this. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've been heard too, purchasing, there'd even be a group of people, right, who purchase, let's say pills from the same batch, if you will, right? And it can affect them all differently because, again, when it's being sold illicitly and fentanyl, there's no way to measure how much fentanyl or how much it went into this, this pill versus this pill. There's really no way to measure it, right? And so that's the scary component is it might just be 2 milligrams, but you have no way of indicating how much is actually in any of the substances that you're purchasing. There's no way to calculate the amount, right, that is present in a substance that you might be purchasing. So yeah, fentanyl is definitely something that needs to be talked more about. The DEA's campaign, One Pill Can Kill, it sounds harsh, but it's 100% true, right?
Truth.
There are people losing their lives from trying something one time. And so you're spot on, Bev. This is a conversation that's being talked about, but not quite enough, right? There's definitely a
Not
lot more to
enough.
it.
And you're exactly right, Abby. Fentanyl was created for a good purpose. But like most things, if put into the wrong hands, it just becomes out of control. And you're right in that the same batch can kill one person who's doing it and not another. And that was evident in Alex's situation. And he just happened to have the end of the bag that had full fentanyl because it was not regulated. It was not created by a regulated lab, just like a capsule. If you take that apart, you can't determine which granule is inert and which granule is the drug. You
Right.
have to take them all together for it to be a measured, correct amount and dosage. As soon as you open that up, it's not what it is intended for. And same thing with fentanyl.
Yeah. Really, the biggest component is just safe use, right? Never, I always say, you will never come across fentanyl if you are not purchasing things illicitly on the street, online, through social media platforms, right? You should never come across fentanyl if you're only, receiving your medications from a doctor, and making sure that you're not sharing or purchasing substances on the street. So.
Yeah, and the new thing is being aware of unregulated pharmacies online. People think, oh, it's cheaper. I can get it at this pharmacy. What they don't know is a lot of those online pharmacies are not regulated, and there's no trail of where it came from. So you don't know what's in it. And that is how some counterfeits have been found in doctors' offices, even because these doctors are wanting to lower the cost and increase their profit. And so they're like, well, I can buy this drug from this place for a lot cheaper than I can get it through the, distributor that I've been using. And I have a flyer that I use that shows in Illinois that have found it in osteoarthritis drugs and even male enhancement drugs.
That's another component that the DEA has talked about too, is that there is not a single online pharmacy that's regulated by the DEA, right? So that indicates to you, right, that it's probably not the best place to be going, to be purchasing or to be getting your prescriptions, even if it costs less, right? It might be costing you your life in that component, right? And so it's making sure you're taking the extra step to know where your medications are exactly coming from. So you're spot on there, Bev. Talking about some of the dangers of fentanyl and how serious, just how serious the substance is, and infiltrating really all of the substances, across the black market in our society. Talk to us more about what is the mission of Live Real? So I know some of the mission personally, but I'd love for you to share with our listeners, what are you doing to try to combat some of this issue, some of these issues that we were just discussing?
Sure. Our mission really is building that network of community resources to increase the trauma-informed resiliency skills by teaching the dangers of these drugs today and the connections between mental illness and substance use. And there's also such a danger and prevalence of drugs being sold online through social media. So that is another big point that we try to educate on.
You talked about kind of that connection between mental health and potential substance use or misuse, kind of leads into the meaning behind the name of the foundation. So talk to me a little bit more about what does Live Real stand for? I know there's a little bit more deeper meaning behind the title of the foundation, and I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, it has a personal meaning for me. When Alex died, we had numerous people come to us and say that Alex was the most caring, loving person they had ever met. They said that he would help anyone. He didn't care who they were. I had one girl who was barely 18 herself say that Alex was the first person that helped her when she moved to town as a freshman in this big school with over 1,000 kids, and she didn't know where she was going, and Alex saw this, fear on her face and helped her. And so with so many people telling me that is how my child was, it left this void of then how did this happen to him? And so I got to look in at everything they were saying and really came down to four qualities that I believe are missing in today's world. And so the REAL in our name is an acronym. The R stands for relational, then empathetic, authentic, and loving. So those four qualities, I believe if everyone can focus on living their lives every day with a face-to-face relationship with everyone. So much of our life is online and virtual. We've lost the ability and I guess just the social relationships of meeting each other at dinner. We've lost the people getting together as families. Everybody is just, too busy, too afraid to even be face to face with the other, things going on in the world today. But I believe that is a huge component on understanding what someone is going through, which leads into some of the other qualities in our name. So, empathetic. Empathy is really being willing to have a relationship with someone, even if you don't agree with who they are, how they live, or what they're participating in. This is n a relationship that is non-judgmental, an actual, real, honest forgiving relationship. Everybody is going to have differences, and we need to be able to accept different opinions and beliefs and lifestyles and just live and grow with each other. You know, I may not be right, you may not be right. And so, who's to say, you know, who is and who isn't? So, let's just, can everybody just get along type of thing, you know? And then, authentic, like I said, just be real. Our world is Hollywoodized, is what I like to say. You know, everything can be edited. You can have your face thinned. You can, you know, change the color of your eyes and your hair. And you choose, you know, through 50 pictures, you choose that one that you really, really like that you post on social media. And so, where's the reality in that? You know, everyone is shamed to show who they really are. There is such a stigma on being who you are and showing your feelings and showing your fears and, you know, just who you are. And then the last quality is loving. You can't expect anything to go well if it's not done with an honest, loving approach. You know, there is so much hatred in the world, and everyone is first to anger instead of listen, and we need to switch that back around.
That's so awesome, Bev. Like, that is just such an awesome meaning behind the name of your foundation. And you are a soul and a light that this world needs right now. What you're doing is amazing. So tell me a little bit more about your short-term and your long-term goals for the foundation.
Yeah, we have a lot of exciting things going on right now. One of our short-term goals is to just really get active in this new program we've been accepted into. We are now a part of a United Way Strong Neighborhood House program. It's an initiative that they created to get programs into the neighborhoods that need them. And so we are housed in McChesney Park in a home in a neighborhood with two other organizations, and we run our programs out of this home. And we build relationships with the communities. And we're not just for this community that we're housed in. It just creates an environment that's more welcoming. We're not in a high rise. We're not in the big city. We have a yard that we can invite people into. We have a living room that we use as our main program room. And it's so cool to see how it's being developed and how it's going to grow. We have programs that are going to build relationships in the community with a garden, with life skills training, and getting into the schools and with the adults and, you know, teaching, you know, communication skills. And it's just going to be amazing. And so that's really our first short-term goal. And then we are working on getting funding for creating a program that will be here in this house. And another reason we're so excited to have a home as an office is this program is going to be called Hidden Right in Front of Me. And what it is going to have paraphernalia, everyday items, actual substances that can be right in front of you, and you don't even realize that it's a drug or that it is paraphernalia being used to do drugs with. One of which is a highlighter, an actual highlighter that looks, it has a logo and everything on it, and it is a pipe for smoking drugs. And you would never know it. And a lot of people don't even know that that can be done. We will have these items placed throughout the house. It'll be a program where you can go through and see the items and have little education with them at each location. And then there'll also be group education afterwards that I will be able to go more in depth about each item and discuss how that made them feel, and were they educated on this, you know, and were they not, and just really get the awareness out there. So we're really excited about that program.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be awesome. It really is just everyday items that can be in the house that can be the ones that are the most dangerous. And it's so important that parents and adults, just everyone knows what to look out for so that they can be that person to step in and have that conversation and be that voice of support. So that's awesome. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, being a mom of two boys, you know, I thought I was drug savvy and understood everything that was going on. And, you know, some of these items had started back in the 80s, you know, where there was a hairspray can or a can of pop or WD-40 that actually wasn't that can. You unscrew the lid and it was a storage container. Well, now there is so many, you know, just think of like the 3D printers. They can make anything now right there in the home and it looks real. And it's, you know, I just wish these people with so many talents and knowledge would use it for good instead of this, you know, bringing it to such a dangerous place. And, you know, I guess that's our main goal.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm super curious about is how people can get more involved with their communities to help bring awareness to these disorders, because I feel like so many people haven't even heard about fentanyl or don't realize how prevalent it is in all of our communities and how dangerous it is. So just how can the everyday average person get more involved and help raise awareness?
Well, just talk, you know, ask questions, go to these trainings, look for more information. It is out there. You just have to look for it. And that is one of our, you know, main programs, is just to get the information out there, just like speaking to you today and being able to educate people on what reality is. It's not like it was generations ago. It is different. And we need to understand what is going on and what our youth is dealing with. You know, we feel so overwhelmed as adults. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a child in the times right now. It just is absolutely scary when you stop to think about it. And we want people to understand. So I just encourage people to ask questions and look for that education. Contact us if you want deeper knowledge or if you want to get involved and spread some of this education. We're always, just like any other nonprofit, looking for volunteers to help us get as much information out there as we can.
Yeah, awareness is definitely one of the big things that there's a big push for right now, which is awesome to see. One thing that you've mentioned a few times is that the things and the drugs that we're seeing nowadays are not the same drugs or the problems that we used to see in the 80s and even like 10 years ago. So how do you really communicate with people who don't know that and people who think that it's not a problem? How do you get the people who don't really care to care?
Yeah, it's really by personal stories and not just of my own. When people can relate to who it is that it's happening to, it becomes real for them. You know, otherwise you think it's just all these stigmas and preconceived notions like we see in Hollywood, that it's somebody who has been addicted on these drugs for years and years. They've become homeless, lost their jobs, and they're, you know, living behind the railroad tracks. They think this is the only person this happens to. Well, it's not, you know. My son was 20 years old, working in a blue-collar job, lived at home. He was just a normal kid. It happens to elderly who are taking pain medication for long-term diseases. It can happen to a working class, any profession, really. Lawyers, doctors themselves, police, just people like you and I that just happen to come across something that is not what we thought it was, or that let's say we're on two or three medications for a actual health problem that we have, and we get the medications confused. Or like I had my knee replaced a few years ago, and in the middle of the night, you wake up in severe pain and you're like, okay, I got these two medications. Did I take this one or was it that one? And do I take one of these or two of those? And if you don't have someone to help regulate that for you, you could very easily overdose on that. You know, take the addiction part of it out. It's these accidental overdoses that are really becoming more and more prevalent.
Absolutely. You know, you hear often is just substance use disorder and addiction, right? It doesn't discriminate.
No.
It especially now, right, with fentanyl being so prevalent in our society, like you just said, we are losing people who aren't, they don't have a substance use disorder. They're accidentally losing their lives, or they're accidentally overdosing, or accidentally coming across something that they think is something else, but really it's fentanyl, right? And yes. So you're spot on there. It does not discriminate, and it can really happen to anybody. So I love that you use just personal stories and testimonies just to get people to understand. It can happen, you know, it can happen to you just as easily as it could happen to my family, right? So I think that's great. This has been such a great conversation, Bev. One thing I want to wrap up with is just if you could share kind of one last thing with our listeners, one thing you really want them to know, what would it be? What would be your one last thing that you would leave with our listeners?
Just be willing to accept and learn more about what's going on in the world. I believe a lot of people get so wrapped up in their own lives and so busy that they just aren't interested in what's really happening around them. And I ask people to stop and look and really pay attention. Pay attention to your kids. Pay attention to the neighborhood kids. Pay attention to your neighbor who used to be outside all the time and all of a sudden isn't. Or your coworker has something changed in their life. Pay attention to each other. Build relationships. And get to know people, because if we don't know what's going on in our own communities, how can we be aware of safety that we need to know about? You have to pay attention and just be willing to learn more about it.
Live the real life, right? Be relational, be empathetic. Be authentic and then be loving. I think those are components that really go right back into what you were just saying, right? Be aware in the relational component. Keep your eye open. There are people, your neighbors and your coworkers and our siblings and friends and even strangers on the street, right? Who could be showing signs or symptoms of something that you could potentially help either get them, you know, get them help, or you could even help them yourselves. So you're spot on there. Love that. Well, this has been such a great conversation. I want to leave our listeners with knowing where they can find more information about the Live Real Foundation. So you can go to goliveReal.org. That's their website where you'll find lots more about Bev and the work that she's doing. And then the Live Real Foundation is on Instagram and Facebook as well. So you are welcome to find them there. I'm sure that they would love for you to follow them and just stay up to date with the great work that Bev and her team are doing. So thank you again, Bev. We have really enjoyed this conversation and we hope to talk to you here soon.
Thank you again, Erica and Abby and everyone with your organization. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about our organization and just getting the education out there. So I really encourage everybody to dive into your neighborhoods, dive into your communities, and just share who you are and the gifts that you've been given. So thank you very much.